Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to the Mike Boyle Show. All right, listen, we're all going to get blown off the face of the earth. Well, you guys aren't, but I'm in fucking Florida, so I'm getting blown away. Right, Marco? You don't give a shit. You're in New York.
Maybe I don't give a shit. What did I do for you today? I went to the rabbi. What are you telling what I did with the rabbi to help you in Florida?
All right, you sent me a prayer, a Jewish
right.
prayer.
But, no, okay, it's in the Bible. It's David. King David is Jews and everybody. It's the Old Testament. Psalm 20. You folks in Florida, Psalm 20, the rabbi told me at the Chabad today that Psalm 20 by King David in the Old Testament in the Psalms is the best prayer for weather problems. Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. No, weather.
All right.
So say the 20th Psalm. I'm saving everybody in Florida, man. The Chabad's coming down there. They got a Chabad in Jacksonville, by the way.
Now, let me explain something to you. This storm is a freaky fucker. This thing's
right.
like 195 miles an hour for like 80 hours in a row. I mean, it's like
right.
crazy shit. But, you know, here's the way it goes. I don't get nervous over the shit. You know what I mean? It is what it is. I'll be out of Jacksonville this time next year anyway. I'll be back in New York. So, you know what? Huff and puff. Who cares? Now, listen, everybody. everybody stay safe. Tonight we have a wonderful comedian. I mean, honestly, I saw this guy stand up. This guy, Richard Barba, is on our show tonight. I don't really get excited with comedians. You know how we are in this business. We see comedians all the time. And some guys are gifted. Some guys aren't. Some guys just do their thing, and you got to respect everybody in the game. But I saw this guy's stuff, and I was like, oh my God, this guy makes me laugh. And I reached out to him, and very fortunately, he was willing to come on the show. I'm very happy. So the dude's calling in tonight, and I'm very happy about it. He's tearing it up out in LA, and he said, man, I'm going to be out in Vegas and stuff, but I'll call in. So I'm very happy. We're going to be picking him up in a couple minutes.
Is he in Vegas now or is he in LA?
I think he said he's going to be in Vegas, but he's going to be calling. So we'll talk to him. We'll see where he is. But he appears in a lot of clubs in LA, and he's an LA comic. Funny guy. I saw his stuff. Very funny. And you guys are going to love him. What, Mark?
Do you have a fan on the ceiling?
Yeah, why?
Because I can see the shadow of it in the top of top of your head.
Shut the fuck up.
I just want to know what it was. That's all.
All right. Okay. So, I mean, I'm talking up our guest, dude.
I wanted to know what that thing was. It's weird. It's
all
like
right.
the Twin Peaks or something.
All right. Jesus Christ. Anyway, so this dude. So you guys got to look him up. I mean, Richard Barba. I'm sure you guys out in L.A. are digging him. In Vegas, you're seeing him. But on the East Coast, if you don't know who this guy is yet, we're going to be talking to him in 2 minutes. So, and I'm not going to make him wait long. He's on. He's holding, so I'm going to pick him up. I just want to talk a little bit about the cartoon, Rotten Apple. Dude, we're going to have 1 million views very soon. And
a million?
Dude, it's crazy how many people are looking at this thing. I was told that nobody was going to be watching it until it was like 30, 35, 40 episodes on there. And there's only like 8 episodes on there, and there's 500,000 views. So I'm really happy. And they're funny, right, Mark? They're funny.
They're funny. The voices are brilliant. The voices
yeah.
are genius. The writing
well,
is
I write
superb.
Them, but KGB called me up yesterday. And asked me to write one about the hurricanes, and we sat down, right, Marco? Marco helped me punch it up a little bit. So we sat down and we wrote a couple about the hurricanes, and they're being animated right now. I'm really proud of this. I mean, we think of shit, we write them down, and they get animated. So go to YouTube and look up Rotten Apple. You know, I don't understand how there's so many views and I keep waiting for the subscriptions to go way up, but I don't give a shit. People are watching them. So, and there's already commercials on them, which makes me happy because I know they're making money.
They even had a commercial for Medicare. So they got expect older people like me to watch it.
So, okay, so everything's going okay in Mike Boyle land. We're starting to regain
except
our listeners. Hey, we've been having some great guests on the show. And I want to thank everybody who's been on lately. You know, everything's been going great. I mean, I can't even explain to you. Everything's been going so well. So thank you, everybody. Let me pick up Richard. He's holding. I don't want to have him holding too long. Let's pick up and talk to this dude. Hold on one second.
Pick him up.
Richard, welcome to the show, brother.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, man.
Thank you.
Richard, I'm just saying, I'm so happy, man, when I come across a comedian that makes me laugh. And I saw your stuff, and I just giggled. Man, funny stuff. How long have you been doing it?
This year will be 7 years for me coming up. I've been pretty lucky in the game, very lucky. Right off the bat, was able to work with some really great comedians. Jeff Garcia, you might know him from The Voices of Happy Feet, Jimmy Neutron, other cartoons. I was picked up with George Perez a couple years later. He was one of the stars from MTV's Yo Mama when MTV actually had some really good content. Last 3.5 years, I've been solo, been very lucky. This year, I just got back from Vegas a couple days ago. The Oakland Raider Fan Convention has been utilizing me this year for their fans, so I do a lot of their rallies. Today, I'm actually over here in Los Angeles in the Garment District. And you guys, have you guys ever heard of Skid Row?
Of course, Skid Row.
It's Skid Row's the depressed area.
I think it has a bad rap. You know what I mean? I come through here. People are very homely. You understand? I mean, literally, you're walking through someone's living room. So, I mean, it's very homely. They're very open. I mean, and I'm over here right now. A lot of people don't know this. About 4 years ago, I ended up having seizures out of nowhere.
Really?
And I ended up taking medications that end up giving you major side effects. I was lucky enough to find something called CBD oil. You might have heard of it on one of the CNN reports. There was parents that went to Utah, to the Congress. And so I'm actually supporting one of those types of rallies where they're giving people the right to utilize cannabis type of medication.
Oh,
I've now been seizure-free. I've been seizure-free for almost a year now. I'll be able to do things that I wasn't able to do before. You know, once you start having them, the law gets involved. You're not able to drive for a length of time. I wasn't able to go clubbing because of the strobe lights. And unfortunately, now at 40, I don't think that's ever going to happen again. So, I mean, that part of my life's gone.
Wow, that's an amazing story. So, let me ask you a question. As far as your stand-up career is concerned, though, you say you've been at it 7 years and you're 40. So you got into it kind of a little bit older. What made you start?
What was it that you said, wait a minute, on stage? If you've seen my comedy, you know it's derived from fear. Fear of marriage, and that's what I've been dealing with.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had an incoming call. But, you know, I was married for a long from when I was really young, got divorced, and I was about 33, maybe 34, and I was a little bored, and I had good friends. I don't know if you know a comic named Ralphie May. Ralphie May was one of the last comic standings, very funny guy. Personal friend of mine are his openers, Corey and Chad. You might know them as the Smash Brothers. They tour the country. They have one of the most successful shows in Southern California for the last 5 years in the improv scene.
Oh.
I ended up calling them. We were personal friends already. And they told me where to go. We started comedy. And that was the night Jeff Garcia saw me. So I literally was very lucky. I didn't have to do very many open mics. I think in my career I've done maybe two or three of those types of shows. I was just very fortunate to get involved right off the bat with some very talented people. Now,
all right.
That didn't automatically make me talented. I mean, you can hang around an NFL locker room doesn't mean you're going to be able to play with the big boys.
Yeah.
I had to write a lot. Fortunately, what I write about is something I know. We all know. I mean, my comedy is based on relationships, marriage, and most of the people who go to these venues are going on dates. So when I talk about waiting 4 hours for your wife to get ready after she promised you'd be on time this time, we can all relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny because my story is the same, brother. I wanted to play guitar when I was a kid, but I didn't believe in it enough. I was good at it, but, you know, I thought, well, I could never do this. So I gave it up and just worked. And I got married young, and, you know, and then, you know, after, and so I didn't go out on stage either until I was older.
Well,
but I identified with
it. It was a divorce. For me, it was a divorce that made that changed my direction. I was married. I was living in basically I lived in Laguna Beach. I lived one city over at the time. So I lived in beautiful Southern California in a nice home by the beach, owned a small business, and I decided to get divorced, and I ended up living in an apartment. And we all know when you have something and you want to get out of a long-term relationship, you have to give some of that up, you know, and a lot of men get upset when that happens, but realistically, you both build a life together. It's only right that she takes what she deserves. And in order for me to build a new life, I wanted to talk about my experience.
I gave houses away like fucking candy, Richard. I gave 3 of them away. Here, take. Just let me the fuck out. I got into comedy after my third divorce. After my third one, I said fuck this. And I went to New York. I got on stage. Every night.
I don't tell a lot of people this. I don't tell a lot of people. So, you know, when I left my divorce, I let my ex-wife continue to keep the business, the home, the vehicle, everything. I just wanted out. I just wanted to start in a new direction. I wanted less arguing in my life. I wanted the partner I was with to actually have drive. And, I mean, I was ready to buy myself. Unfortunately, my business is no longer around. But she still does very well. She still lives in Southern Orange County. My daughters are beautiful young ladies. One's off to college. My oldest daughter now just gave me a grandson. So at 40 years old, I have a brand new grandson. I'm very lucky, very lucky. So I'm enjoying life. I believe the 40 is the new 20. And the reason why I believe is it's better is because I realize all the stupid things I did at 20, and I'm not going to do them again. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I want to go out and I want to have a good time, if I'm single, I'm going to go to her house. That way the crazy bitch don't know where I live. You know what I mean?
Ah.
I'm smart now.
I got to show Mark Schmeichel because he's fucked up. Go ahead. I'm sorry, brother.
But I, you know, you learn. I believe we learn from our mistakes at some time. For me, it's been a wonderful experience. This month, a lot of people don't know, but it's most of my fans that know me. I actually donate about 50% of the time I do on stage to charity. So whether it's a fundraiser for kids, football season, cancer, whatever it is, I try to donate a lot of my time. This last year, I've donated a lot of time to the veterans, a lot of smaller programs. This month, I'm going to be doing a fundraiser not only for Little Leagues, but a woman who survived stage 4 cancer. So I'll be down in the San Diego area, and I'll be donating my time with her and their family, but I'll also be in Orange County again, and finally I'm home. I'll be back at the Improv. So this month I'm actually probably going to be doing, I think it'll total 15 to 16 shows. So half the month I'll be pretty much booked up.
But you know what, Richard? You remind me a lot of me, brother. I'm 10 years older than you. I'm 51. But I think 50 is the new 20, so fuck it. And
what, you know what? Your voice don't sound. Your voice sounds no over 65. So young.
I don't give two shits, man. You know, I'll tell you, the guys on the show, we got a lot in common because, you know, I was a business guy, and I was like you. I didn't feel like my wives. Well, I tried it 3 fucking times, but all I wanted was a partner, and, you know, just for whatever reason, it wasn't working out. I mean, but hey, I did the same thing, man. I was like, here, but I only had children with my second wife. My first wife had 2 kids of her own, but
well,
my
you
second
know what's
wife,
funny is that, I have a friend who married a woman with the same name twice. His first wife was named Janet, and his second wife was named Janet. So
that's funny.
At least you didn't do that. I mean, you figured out each time. At least you only had children with one wife, so you may have three alimony payments, but you only had one child support payment.
No, I don't do alimony. I just give them shit, and I'm like, here. I get like really tough at the end. I'm like, here, take this, this, and this, and get the fuck out. Or like my first wife, I'll tell you, my first wife, I gave her like everything in the house, this, that, the other. We had this Kirby vacuum cleaner, right? I said, you got everything in the house. You can't have the Kirby vacuum cleaner. She goes, why can't I have the Kirby vacuum cleaner? I go, you never fucking clean the house anyway. I want the Kirby vacuum cleaner. So when the fucking day came and she was emptying the house, she came with like three trucks and a bunch of people. They emptied the entire fucking house. You know, I do a couple other things, but, you know, mostly gave her everything. And then nothing was left in the house except for the Kirby vacuum cleaner, right? She goes, I'm taking the Kirby vacuum cleaner. I go, you ain't taking the Kirby vacuum cleaner, Judy. She goes, I'm taking the Kirby vacuum cleaner. I said, I'll tell you what, motherfucker. You touch that vacuum cleaner, I'll go outside and firebomb your three truckloads of shit. You could vacuum up the fucking ashes of all the rest of your shit with that vacuum cleaner. And she looks at me and she goes, you could take that vacuum cleaner and stuff it up your dick hole. So that was the end of that one. Then,
hey,
you
know what? At least that fucking Kirby vacuum cleaner still works.
Yeah, that vacuum, I don't know where it is now. Then my second wife was a little different. I had two kids with her. So her, I gave her a beautiful house to raise the kids in. And because I didn't want my kids to have to move all over the place and shit. But then,
of course.
But then, now my second wife's having trouble with my 17-year-old, right? Now I'm planning to go back to New York now because I'm done. I had to come back to Florida. My kids were here. So I was on stage in New York every fucking night. But then
What's up with you, Italian?
No, wait a minute. I had to come back to Jacksonville because she's here with my kids. So now I'm getting ready to go back to New York. She goes, I'm having trouble with Blake. You got to take him. He's 17. I said, take him? Are you out of your fucking mind? I said, I'll tell you what. Give me the fucking house back I gave you to raise him in. I'll take him. She wants me to take him now. He's 17 and 2 months old, and she wants me to take him now. Get the fuck out of here. So that was number two. But the third one, I was with her. She was completely fucked up. I looked at her. I said, Delia, I said, I'm going to tell you something, sweetheart. I begged my first wife 7 years to change. She never changed. I begged my second wife 7 years to change. She never changed. I ain't begging you 7 years. I'm just getting the fuck out now. And I just left my house and never went back, Richard.
That's kind of how I did it.
I don't even know my high school yearbook.
The craziest one is usually the freakiest one.
Well, I'll
tell
you.
Exactly. That's a devilish fucking laugh right there. When I said freaky, this motherfucker remembered him putting his finger in things he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, well, she wasn't. Well, she was the squirter. The third one squirted. So
that's
that was
why
my
you kept it for so long, because you like to play slip and slide? Motherfucker, really?
She was half Filipino, half Spanish. First time I was eating her pussy, she peed in my face. I was like, what the fuck is that? She was like, what? You never had squirter? I go, what the fuck? You're pissing in my face. What the fuck are you doing? She's like, I squirting. I was like, motherfucker.
I'm glad I wasn't your friend at that time. As soon as I found out, I would have handed you a snorkel, motherfucker. That way you could have kept going.
Anyway, Richard, you are awesome. Where can people find you, brother? You got a site, a website, or?
Honestly, right now, find me on Facebook under Richard Barba, B-A-R-B-A. Or you can find me on my Instagram, Comedian Richard Barba. My YouTube guys just went up for my last Ice House performance. It's a quick bit. It's one of the sets I'll probably be recording in the next year or so in order for my DVD to come out. So I'll be doing a 30-minute special hopefully very soon. Unfortunately, I'm just as poor as most of us are here in America. I'm really waiting for my president to make America great again, whether he's orange, white, or whatever the hell he is. So hopefully this NASDAQ still keeps going up and the stock I have will allow me to keep doing comedy, guys, and you'll see me on the scene. My goal is to be out in Denver. I'll be in Denver in November, and I believe I'll be out in New York the first of the year. So we're going to be out in the East Coast starting the beginning of next year. 2018, we're going to hit the East Coast. I believe I'll be in New Orleans. I'll be in Florida, and I believe we'll be heading our way back up on the East Coast rail right there.
Well, Richard, keep in touch with us, brother. When you're in New York, look up Marco. Marco knows all the tough in the city.
That's me, Mark Helfgott. I just sent you a friend request, by the way.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Mark. Please look at my YouTube. Hopefully I make you smile. Man, you look like you sound like you don't smile much.
But me?
I heard you on the radio before I got here. I could hear about the shit talking you do. Let me know exactly what kind of man you are. And I would love to have
you're talking about me now, right?
I'm talking about you.
Yeah, I haven't smiled in about 3 years, actually.
You can tell. You're the straight
matter of fact,
you
do these charity things. You know, you could help me out. I have some bad sciatica and scoliosis. Could you do a show for me to help me out? You know, help out a poor old man who doesn't smile.
I have a comedian friend who has no neck. We do fundraiser for him once a year. We could do
great.
One for you.
I could use it, you know.
I would love to see you guys and catch up with you guys when I come back in town, guys. I'm actually about to head into this event. If you guys didn't know, but I'm actually in my car doing the interview because we've been at this event for about 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
I've been told that we're going to have some more speakers come. I'll be doing some time speaking about my experience. Literally, guys, in order for me to make it in comedy and stand in front of people and tell my story, it has to be believable. And part of what I do is continue to talk about everything that I do and continue to be part of my community. Both of you doing this show, seems like you built your own community. Thank you for allowing me to be part of it, and hopefully I'll be on it once again.
Thank you.
You're a good man, Richard. Thank you, brother. Thanks very much. God bless.
Day.
We'll talk again.
God bless you. God bless you. Have a good weekend. Have a good
All
night.
Right,
you too.
Take care, brother. All right, so that was Richard Barber, everybody.
Richard Barber.
Very, very funny guy. You got to check him out. And you guys got to check him out on Facebook, Richard Barber, B-A-R-B-A. So I'm telling you, he made me laugh. You know what I mean? So he will definitely make you laugh. We got another caller who's been hanging on very patiently for about 20 minutes. So I didn't want to interrupt Richard because I knew he had to go. But let me pick up this dude. Let's see. Hey, you're on the air, Mike Boyle. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Eric Brantley. You had just messaged me.
Eric, what's going on, brother? So you wanted to talk about – Eric didn't get on last week when we had Ari Teeman on. So
right.
he wanted to continue that conversation a little bit
about
President Trump. So what did you have to say about President Trump, Eric? Let's hear what you got going on.
When I had seen that post last week, I tried to call it in. I don't know what happened. I don't remember if the line wasn't going through. I don't remember if the
no, sometimes
it's on or I, it didn't, it, something happened.
You know, sometimes it's hard when people are talking to pick up. You know what I mean? So I'm sorry if you were holding and I didn't get to you. But
no,
but go
yeah,
ahead.
No,
but
we're
go
getting
ahead.
We're getting like echoes from you, Eric. Turn off your computer.
Oh, you can't. You all right?
Yeah, just turn your volume down.
Actually, you know what?
Turn your volume down.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. 1 second. Okay, is that better by any chance?
Yeah.
Still a little bit in the background. Sounds good now. I don't hear anything.
Okay, I just want to make sure it's enough for
everybody. No, now it's good.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Marcus.
Okay.
Man,
okay.
I got on.
So yeah, I seen your post about. I can make this quick. I seen your post about give your take on Trump's presidency, and I think I can safely say that, you know, I think that we, I think that we definitely could have made a better choice as far as you know who could get elected. Number one, I think that a vast majority of what I've seen. In my opinion, it doesn't seem like he's doing well on a lot of things. there's a part of me that wants to believe that he does have good intentions and that he is trying to do well, but his messages don't correspond
with that. His messages are not correlated. Who would you have preferred?
Wait, hold on a minute. Hold on one second.
What, to be the president?
Eric, let me say one thing to you, brother. Of course there's better choices.
Yes.
Listen, dude, there's 6 billion people on the planet. And I'm going to tell you something. There's only one smartest person out of all 6 billion people. There's only one smartest person on the planet. There's only one best-looking person on the planet. And all the rest of us are all kind of in the same fucking boat. You know what I mean? The thing about President Trump is this, okay, is the guy won the election. I'm not saying that you got to love the fucking guy. You don't have to love the guy. This is America. You are perfectly welcome not to like President Trump. The problem with America, I don't know how old you are. I'm 51, okay?
I'm 67.
You're how old? Eric?
23.
Okay, so you're a kid.
A kid.
Yes, 23.
Yeah. Okay, so you're 23. So what you guys are taught at your age now is you're taught that it's okay to... Mark, let me fucking talk.
All right. I just said I had shoes older than him.
I don't give a fuck. What you guys are taught at your age now, and it's okay in some ways, but in some ways it's not. See, you're taught that it's okay to hate your president, and it's really not. It's okay to disagree with things, and it's okay to want things to be different. That's American. It's the American way. But it's not okay to hate your president. When I was a kid, it didn't matter who was the president. You loved him. You respected him. You wanted your country to be great. It didn't matter. So, listen, when I was a kid, Jimmy Carter was president. He was Democrat. I loved Jimmy Carter with all my heart. He was the president. Jimmy Carter was so fucking bad at being president that we couldn't get gas. We had to wait online to get gas. I remember I was a little kid sitting in the back of the fucking car, but we had to wait online. You had to have a certain digit on your license plate to get gas. It was fucking horrible. Mortgage rates to get a mortgage on a house were like 18 to 21%. It was fucking ridiculous. Like, we were horrible. We had what was called a misery index in this country. People were suffering like pigs. The guy couldn't get anything done. Now, Jimmy Carter, as a human being, is a nice guy. He's out there, even at his age, building houses for people. A beautiful guy. If I met him, I would hug him. I swear to you, as a human being, the guy is awesome. He was a horrifying president. But I cried when he lost because he was the president, and it was hard to watch your president get defeated. Okay, when Ronald Reagan ran for the office of president, I remember it was the same thing that Trump went up against. He was a buffoon. He made movies with a monkey because he was an actor in Hollywood. He made movies with a monkey. He was going to start World War III. He was a doddering idiot. This guy was a fucking imbecile. This was the worst thing that ever happened. You know, blah, 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 blah. Now, things became so polarized in this country. Listen to me very carefully. We are not getting rid of each other.
Yes.
Half the country is not getting rid of the other half of the country. Now, we could go on Facebook all we want, and we could hate each other's guts all fucking day long, and you can make a post, and all your friends could get on there, and they could talk about how brilliant you are. Yay! Fuck Trump! But I'm going to tell you something, brother. It's going to get none of us nowhere. Now, you're perfectly...
Well, you know what? Can I ask a couple questions? I want to make a couple points to what you were saying as far as being taught to hate the president. And, you know, this is the only way I can put this. To tell you the truth, that I was necessarily taught to hate the president, you know, like I said, I wasn't taught to hate Trump. My opinion of Trump is solely based on the things that he said during his campaign and how he treated Obama, how he treated various members of his party. And keep in mind, you know, I might have mentioned this before. I'm generally against most Republicans, but I'm going to tell you, and like I said, I understand a lot of people like to think that, I understand a lot of people like to think that, you know, Hillary is as bad as him, and she just, you know, having her would be no better. But I can actually point out some differences between the two. And you asked me earlier, who did I prefer? Hillary. That's who I supported. I'm the Hillary supporter. I can tell you this. There were some things that Hillary had did during her campaign that I thought she messed up. And there were some statements that she made that I did disagree with or I felt iffy about or some stuff I simply didn't care. But I'm going to tell you what she didn't say and what she didn't do. She did not go on national television saying that she could shoot somebody in the middle of the street and not lose any supporters. She did not turn her party against her. She doesn't constantly disrespect Obama. She didn't brag about sexual assault. She didn't have to file for bankruptcy 1,000 times. She wasn't sued by companies and businesses over 1,000 times and not being able to get a loan from an American bank. You know, she did not propose an idea to build a wall due to xenophobia. I might have that wrong, but she doesn't have that. She also thinks before she talks. She seems like she's educated, intelligent, articulate. She doesn't let anything slip out of her mouth, you know. And like I said, the things I could go on with that, but those things in general, and that very list that I gave, unfortunately, and like you said, Trump is not of the establishment, which is why a lot of people chose to vote for him. When you go on a job interview, you go to meet somebody, and then they say, we don't want that person on our job because of how they talk. Yes.
Eric, let me ask you a question, pal. I'm not going to defend everything Trump has done wrong. I mean, I think for sure people can certainly point to some missteps that the guy's made. And I'm not a sycophant. You know what a sycophant is? That's somebody who's going to defend him no matter what he does. And that's certainly not me. I think I'm not that way about anybody. You know, if I saw this guy doing something that I thought was horrible, I certainly would not defend him, okay? Because there are things that you can't do, no matter who you are. And so I certainly wouldn't say that. I just believe that some of the stuff that's being said about Trump is just pure bullshit. Like, calling him a racist is bullshit. The guy was honored by Jesse Jackson year in, year out for 30 years because, you know, the guy was fair to minorities. And so now all of a sudden, because he's got a Republican after his name, he's a racist. That's bullshit. You know what I'm saying? So that you have to say.
You know what? I got to be honest with you on one thing. Even before Trump decided to run for president, I had already said to myself, and I had already made a decision that this wasn't a guy that I liked based on the way he treated Obama, and he just kept shooting fire and fire for him. The whole thing about plugging him off the birth certificate, and I will be honest with you, before Trump was involved in politics, I was okay with him just as a person, but ever since the disrespect and Obama stuff, that's when he lost me. And I said to myself,
Eric, please, let me explain something to you. He had to go after Obama because Obama was the man he had to beat. He didn't go after Obama because Obama was a black man. Listen. Obama was president. I was on stage every night. I never said a bad word about Obama. I'm going to tell you why. Obama was my president. And if you go through my wall, you could go down and you could search my wall and you will never see a bad word. That man was president of the United States and I respected him. And I'm going to tell you something. There are also, you can find posts on there where I defended the man and defended his daughters, because there were times when people picked on his daughters, and there were times I called his daughters beautiful, because they are beautiful girls. And so listen to me. I don't think that everything that President Obama did was right when he was there, and I don't think it's got anything to do with anything except for I consider myself more conservative, and only because of business reasons. I am not against gay people, very open sexually. The only thing that bothers me about sex is if you bother a child or someone who's underage, or if you force somebody to do something, or you rape somebody. Okay? So, dude, I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're bi. If everybody in the room wants to be there and everybody in the room's of age, do whatever the fuck you want, dude. I am not like that at all.
I've self-described myself to be what you call a quote-unquote semi-partisan, meaning that them, based on the party and the character, would be primarily the reason I would vote for them. I can probably think of two Democrats I wouldn't vote for. Robert Byrd, he's deceased now. He was a KKK member.
Of course.
And Jesse Jackson, I've heard some stuff about him. And I think that I think Jesse was two-faced after I learned some stuff that he said about Obama years ago. So he's not somebody I would support. Now, there's probably about three Republicans that I'm kind of okay with, which really would be, you know, Colin Powell, John McCain, and Mitt Romney, which I have mixed thoughts about. So necessarily
listen,
vote for them. I wouldn't support them.
But
I would definitely much rather have Romney or McCain than Trump. I can promise you that.
Yeah, because Trump was the guy that beat Hillary, so you got to hate him. But I'm going to tell you something. If Mitt Romney was running against Hillary this year, you would hate Mitt Romney. That's just the way it is, dude. These things get into, like, and with all the advertising.
No. I don't want you to, I don't want you to misunderstand. No, here, I'm not saying this. No, I'm not saying that the person who defeated Hillary is the person I hate. What I'm saying is, if that had been Bernie Sanders versus Trump and Trump still won, opinion, because I think what happened in this election was, keep in mind, like I said earlier, I don't like Republicans. They're just not my people.
Right.
I said, I do respect.
Let me ask you a question, Eric.
I think that in this particular election, anybody that wasn't Donald Trump or Jeb Bush is okay with me in this election, because even if somebody like Ben Carson or Ted Cruz, which I've told many people, the only thing I would have said is, well, you know what, we could have done better, but at least it's not Bush and at least it's not Trump. I lean in that direction. So I am a fair person, and I have friends and family that are Trump supporters and Republican voters and conservatives. So I'm okay with that. And like I said, we're free open to discuss these things because I want to keep it in the zone of respect. And I do understand what you're saying, though, and that is fair.
Look, dude, we all got to come together in this country, brother. We had a civil war in this country, and you know what? It sucked. Almost 600,000 Americans died, and we can't do this shit again. You know what I mean? And it seems like it seems like way too many people feel like that's a good thing to try to do again. And it's not. We can't do that again. You know,
Can I ask you a random question? What's your take overall on Hillary Clinton? And if she had won, what would you have thought?
If Hillary Clinton was president of the United States, I would shut the fuck up because she's president of the United States. I would not be out protesting.
Well, okay, that makes sense.
I would not be out.
Yeah, I got plenty of friends. I got plenty of cool friends and cool people that don't like Hillary and think that she's worth nothing. They see her as nothing but a threat and a crook and somebody who would put the country into World War III, which is
you know who
me,
really.
Let me say
something here, Eric.
Yes.
You know who elected Donald Trump? Bernie Sanders voters elected Donald Trump. That's who elected Donald Trump.
Let the guy finish his thought, though, Mark. Go ahead. You got friends that don't like Hillary.
I have friends that supported Trump. Now, as far as what you said about the Bernie supporters who did vote Trump, yes, I have met some people actually that supported Bernie and Trump.
No, they didn't
not
vote
Hillary.
For him. They just didn't vote at all.
They voted Bernie Sanders, but they voted Hillary as the lesser of two evils because they were like, well, we're really not going to have this guy. Bernie Sanders is gone. We can't do anything about that. Something that bugs me the very most that a lot of people will debate with me on this one, I'll tell you the truth. I think that to these people that did not vote for Hillary, they are complaining that Trump is the president, and I'm going to tell you why that doesn't make sense. The reason why that doesn't make sense is because they either did one of two things, they either voted for a third party, you know, Gary Johnson, Jill Stein, whoever, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders. Daryl, first of all, everybody knows that third-party candidates, and like I said, there might be some part in history I might be missing, but if you go back even a few decades, no third-party candidate has won an election. It has been a Democrat or Republican. Now, a lot of those people who didn't like Hillary or Trump, most of them didn't vote. Let's be honest. They didn't vote. Therefore, that gave Trump the extra in him more votes because you know a lot of people in America had said, well, he's the lesser of two evils because all he does is talk a bunch of smack, and at least he didn't, you know, a lot of fabrications that, to me, were fabrications that were brought out on Hillary. So I think that's where the problem fell at. There were too many third-party votes, and so my thing is, first of all, Bernie Sanders was out the election. So here's how I look at this. Okay, so you didn't like Hillary or Trump. That's okay. You wanted Bernie. You wrote him in as a third party as if somehow they were going to announce that, oh, well, you know what? So many people wrote him in. Apparently he's going to be elected, which, don't get me wrong, I thought he was a great candidate and I supported him when he was in the running. But to me, that's where that pretty much is summing it up. And I might have repeated myself, but I think to me that's pointless. If you're going to vote for one of the main two candidates or don't vote at all. So that's my stance on that. And so to me, that was the major factor that got Trump elected.
Yeah.
Which is why I wasn't surprised that he won.
The only reason I consider myself conservative at all, Eric, is because I was raised by a very poor mother. Very poor. I was raised by a single mother and never met my father. You know what I mean? I'm blacker than most people, brother. You know what I mean? I grew up in Newark, New Jersey. No, I'm not lying to you.
Understand.
No, I'm not lying to you.
No, I understand. Go ahead.
No, my mother didn't even know how to go on welfare. Like, you understand? Like, and I used to tell her when I got older, you're too stupid to go on welfare. We had to move every 6 months. We were getting thrown out of where we lived. We lived like paupers. There were times when we had to put milk outside the window to keep it cold because we didn't have a refrigerator. I mean, the only house my mother ever owned was 6 years before she died. I bought her the first fucking house she ever lived in that she owned. Okay? I'm telling you. She got cancer. The first time she got cancer, I was 10 years old. She was bleeding so much from her vagina after her operations that she couldn't afford clean bandages. No, dude. She suffered like a pig, this woman. And we went to the American Cancer Society office in East Orange, New Jersey, and she begged them for bandages, and they wouldn't give her any. So when I'm telling you that nobody gave my mother nothing, and she told me one thing every fucking day of her life, I have nothing to give you. Anything you want, you have to work for. Anything you want. I bought my first house when I was 22 years old. I wanted to be a doctor, okay? And I was going to college, and I was carrying a 4.2 grade point average, and I missed a history test because I had no money to put gas in my car, and I had to leave college. You know what I did? I went to work for an exterminating company because that's all I could do was go to work. And a year and a half later, I opened my own termite company, and I started making like 10 grand a week in my own termite company. I made a fucking $1 million before I was 30. Nobody gave me nothing. Nobody. Now, I'm going to explain something to you. I worked like a fucking pig, and all my friends were at the Jersey Shore all summer, and I was working all fucking day. But I did okay for myself. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Right.
And I bought my mother the first house she ever fucking owned, and I did all right. Now, if I didn't get married three fucking times and the economy didn't completely collapse and I lost everything, I would be a millionaire today. That's fine. No big deal. I'm doing okay. I have brains in my head and I work hard. Nobody could take that from me. But the one thing my mother taught me, anything you want, you have to work for. Nobody's going to give you nothing. That's what I believe in. And this is what Democrats don't believe in. They want to teach everybody that we're going to give you whatever you need. That is a fucking complete and total fabrication. Where the fuck are you going to get it from? And I'm not talking out of being selfish. Listen to me, Eric.
Yeah, that's fair. And I can understand that. But I promise you one thing.
Listen to me. Sick people should be taken care of. Sick people should be taken care of. Handicapped people should be taken care of. Old people should be taken care of. I would never want to see a handicapped child not being taken care of in America, ever. My brother's handicapped, okay? I would never want to see an old man who can't walk or can't help himself have to sit in a chair and nobody help him. That's
like
not me. What I'm saying. That's not what it means to be a conservative person. But I don't want to see hundreds and hundreds of people line up for Section 8 benefits because fuck it, I don't want to pay my own rent. And you know something? That is way, way too prevalent on the left side, dude. They want to keep people in their ranks by promising them all this shit. And Bernie Sanders, while he looks like a great guy, telling everybody in America, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that. Now, I happen to have a son who's a genius. He's going to school for free. He goes to a $30,000 a year high school for free. He's got a scholarship. He's going to go either Princeton or fucking Harvard or wherever the fuck he wants to go, completely paid for next year. He's brilliant. And you know what? He believed in Bernie Sanders. And I said to him, Brandon, I said, you know what? It's so awesome that you think that. Look how hard he works, so fucking hard. He doesn't even have a driver's license. He goes to school in the morning. He leaves his fucking house before 6 o'clock. He doesn't get home until 6:30. And he has 3 hours of homework a day. Every summer since 7th grade, he goes to college. He's been going to a different college every summer to take courses. The kid's brilliant. He aced the SATs. He works like a fucking
right.
pig.
Right.
They treat him well. They give him everything. He's got the Jack 10 Cook Foundation scholarship. He's got this other scholarship that's going to be paying for college. And he does crew, and he's the fastest kid on his crew team at his private school. So now all the colleges want him for that, too. The kid's awesome, but he works all fucking day for what he's got. And he's gifted, okay? And I'm very fortunate to have him for a son. But I tell him, Brandon, so you're telling me that Bernie Sanders is going to give everybody in America a free college education. So let me ask you a question, Brandon. This thing that you're getting, this scholarship, means nothing then. They're just going to hand it to everybody. All the work that you do, that you're being rewarded the scholarship, because look at all the kids. Like, my other son doesn't do what Brandon does. My other son's a fuck-up. You know, what can you do? You win some, you lose some. But my other son goes to Fleming Island High School, beautiful high school. He doesn't get the grades Brandon gets. He's a fuck-up. Okay, okay. I won one, I lost one, right? But I go, look at Blake. Now, imagine Blake was going to be going to the same college you go to. You get up every fucking day, and you work 12 hours a day at school to get what you're getting. Now, imagine Bernie Sanders going to hand it to everybody. Now, here's the problem with that, Brandon. It doesn't mean anything anymore. If everybody just got it handed to them, higher education isn't going to mean anything. The reason a higher education means something to people now is because you have to kind of fucking work for it. If they just handed it out like gum, you know, who the fuck cares? Listen, I couldn't go to college. It just, I wanted to be, I did 5 semesters and had to drop out. When I missed that history exam, I went to the dean. I said, please, what can I do? He said, the only thing you can do is claim academic bankruptcy and start all over. I couldn't do that. I had to leave school. You know what? I didn't cry. I didn't protest. I didn't do a fucking thing but go to work. Every semester, a termite company had in our job fair, they had a booth. I said, why would a bio major want to go work for a termite company? What are you doing here? They said, oh, we need bio majors because you can read the material out of safety sheets and understand them. You can understand the entomology of the insects. I laughed. I said, a bio major is going to be an exterminator? That's ridiculous. And it hit me like a ton of bricks after I had to drop out. They were there for the fucking losers that had to drop out. And now I'm a loser that had to drop out, and I went to work as an exterminator. I didn't cry. I didn't beg. I went to fucking work. So I'll explain something to you, Eric. We can't just hand everything to everyone. Where's it going to come from? You know, you can milk the cow, brother. You can't kill it. Once the fucking cow is dead, nobody gets nothing. You understand? So I'm not heartless.
Yes.
Yes. I don't fucking hate everybody. I think he hung up.
Why? You got mad at you?
No, right here. Right here.
Are you here? Eric?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
All right. So I'm telling you, you got to soften your heart a little bit. I know you don't like Trump, and I don't blame you for not liking Trump. He doesn't like Obama, but it's a personal thing. I'm going to tell you, he doesn't not like Obama because Obama was a black man. He doesn't like Obama because he didn't like Obama's politics. Okay? You have to accept that for truth. I grew up in New York City. I've seen Donald Trump put his arms around black people my whole life. If he hated black people, he wouldn't do that. Okay? People that hate black people don't put their arms around black people. Okay? They stay away from them.
Is it okay if I bring up something that's – let me give you something that's basic. And I understand what you're saying, and I'm not saying that,
sure.
The statements that you're giving on Trump are – important or wrong, but you have to look at how a lot of liberal America had looked at it. When, you know, some people observe that the person that he's questioning about the birth certificate just so happened to be the first black president. I mean, why was there no question about, like, that he didn't question Bush or Clinton or any other? And my thing is this, even with the ones I don't like, I don't care about any of that. Even if Bush, for example, was shown to be born in another country, that wouldn't have made a difference to me anywhere than, any more than what Obama would. Because I didn't like Bush in the country. My point, even if you eliminate the racism factor from Trump, there are a lot of other things about him that are disgusting. And again, I'm not saying Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are perfect, because there are things about them I disagree with as well.
Eric, I'm going to do something.
It's just that he really wasn't my guy. He wasn't leading my guy.
No, I'm going to wrap this.
It's just not him. And like I said, I'm not labeling him like he's the number one worst human being on planet Earth.
Right.
It's just
I'm
that
gonna
he
wrap,
definitely
I'm
wasn't
wrap,
the right, right guy
wrap,
for me to
I'm going to wrap this up by agreeing with you. Donald Trump could be a very crass, rude guy. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. There's things he says that make me cringe. There's times when I say, I wish somebody would let me talk to him, but I'm a nobody. There's no way I'll ever get to talk to him. You know, but I wish somebody would let me talk to him, because I would say to him, oh, my God, maybe you shouldn't say that, because it's true. But the truth of the matter is this. The guy, you know, next time you go vote, you don't have to vote for him. That is America. And nobody will tell you you're wrong to not vote for him. You know, so, you know, but the thing is, you can't hate your own president. Now, if he takes troops and marches against people in this country, I'll hate him too. You know what I mean? But he's not doing that. And you know, until he does that, you got to give him a chance. And you ask me what I would do if Hillary was elected. I'd shut the fuck up. You know, and people on your side, dude, are not shutting the fuck up. They're doing everything they can to throw a monkey wrench in the program.
So then I know you said you're about to wrap up, but I have another question actually about that. My question is this. If conservatives are so quick to call the liberals the extremists and they're saying, why won't they stop talking about Trump winning the election? Then why is it that there are a lot of right-wing sources that still keep bringing up why Hillary lost? Like, why does that have to keep being thrown in our face? I'm trying to understand that.
She just wrote a fucking book on it, cousin. She just put a book out today.
No. I understand that, too. And when I saw that she published a book about it, I sat there and thought to myself, okay, Hillary, you're just adding fuel to the fire. Like, that's bringing back bad memories. We don't have to keep reliving that.
Yeah.
She got $15 million for a book. I've had a book for that money.
Yeah.
Give me $15 million to write a book about it, too.
Yeah, she's a little money hungry.
She's even going to write the book.
Eric, let me say this, brother. The answers are in the middle. There's no doubt about it. We're not getting rid of each other. Black people are not getting rid of white people. White people are not getting rid of black people. Left people are not getting rid of white people. We all need to shut the fuck up and get along. It's way too long that this shit's going on between us. We all need to get along better. And I think Donald Trump, if you look at the news a little bit closely today, I think he did something a little bit very historic today, which is that he reached out across the table today and talked to Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, which would never happen with a normal Republican president sitting in there. And that just happened today. And if you think about it, that's kind of extraordinary. So he made a deal with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer today to raise the debt ceiling.
Well, he's known Chuck Schumer for 30 years.
Yeah.
They know each other pretty well.
So, and all the Republicans are beside themselves. They don't even know what the fuck to do about it. But he made a deal with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer today. And he did that because he did not want the aid for the people in Texas to get held up. And because this is what these fuck nuts in Washington do. They'll hold up the aid that these people desperately need. And he said, I cannot have that happen. So he reached out across the table. He talked to Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi today. No other Republican president would do that. But today, Trump, who everybody thinks is such an animal, he did that.
Reagan used to do it. He was very close with the majority leader of the House, whose name eludes me right now, Southern
Tip
guy.
Tip O'Neill.
Right. Correct.
So this guy is very
right.
much.
Well, I mean, like you said, the truth of the matter is that everybody is entitled to their own perceptions and opinions. And like
right.
I said, a lot of us, and I personally, I think hate is a strong word in this particular context. I wouldn't say I hate him. As if you said strongly dislike him, for the most part, that would be an accurate statement. And to say that I put Hillary on a pedestal, like she's just the, you know, I would say that that's kind of an overstatement. I like her enough to vote for her and support her, not anything further. Same with Bernie Sanders, and same with Obama and most Democratic candidates for that matter. I think that, you know, like I said, we both brought up a few good liners to that. I think, and like you said, I can kind of recognize the, as a side note, it seems like every time I do talk or say something, it's like you may not hear it till 3 seconds later because there is an echo going on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
At some point, we might have to discuss this through a Skype or through Messenger on 101 off the show whenever you have time.
You probably have your computer still on.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm going to let you go, brother, because there's a couple other callers, but I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you got a chance to say your piece. And
right.
Listen, good luck to you, and call us again.
Thank you, Eric.
Yep, I will do so.
Thanks, Eric.
I will do so. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye, brother. All right.
That man, that guy has great breath control, let me tell you.
Okay. All right, so here, we got a 310 caller. 310 area code, you're on the phone. Who's this?
This is Johnny in Los Angeles.
Johnny, how you
Johnny.
Doing, brother?
Johnny Bolton.
Hey, man. Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Hello, Johnny Bolton. Why don't you sing that song that you're famous for?
Georgia.
All right, baby.
Georgia.
All right.
That's my cousin. That's not me.
All right.
So, anyway, I registered Democrat. I'm a libertarian. I registered Democrat in
Everybody's
California.
Echoing.
I don't know why you're echoing. Somebody turn off the speaker.
All right.
So I registered Democrat so I could vote against Hillary twice. I voted for Bernie in the primary, and then I voted for Trump in the general.
Just not to see Hillary come in.
Just to see, right, you know what? I couldn't vote for her, and I didn't like him, but you know what? Lesser of two evils. I liked his ideas. I wish somebody else had those ideas that was less repugnant, a little kinder to women. But you know what? He was the guy, and I looked at his policies versus hers, more of the same. I thought this country's going to be better off if he can get any of his agenda done, you know what, despite himself. So who knows if that's going to happen.
Well, I think, Johnny, I think that tape that came out with him grabbing pussies and stuff was horrifying, of course. But we've all grabbed pussies, dude. Every man alive has grabbed a pussy. And I grabbed pussies, and I know I'm not a bad guy. He was not talking about walking up to any woman on the street and grabbing a pussy. He was talking about walking up to women who wanted him to grab their pussy. You know, there's a lot of women, they're called star fuckers, you know what I mean, that would invite a guy who's been on TV or is famous to, you know, to grab their pussy. He's not going to walk up to Mother Teresa and grab her pussy. I mean, this guy's been a businessman for years and years and years. He's been in a room with many, many women. He knows who's pussy to grab and who's not to grab. He was being boastful jerk off talking to some guy, you know, and I'm quite surprised that he even had to talk like that because, like, he didn't need to prove that he could get laid. You know what I mean? But the truth of the matter is we all talk like that, and it was exactly what he said, locker room talk. Now, if the guy had a fucking rap sheet of sexual predator or something like that, I'd be the first one not to vote for him. I am very, very against sexual predators. I hate them. I hate anybody who touches kids. I hate anybody who would commit a rape or anything like that. The guy was talking like a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? And he was talking about, you know, groupie type situations and shit like that. And he said some stupid ass shit. But, you know, he wasn't talking about walking up to every woman he meets. It was just stupid. It was stupidity. And you know what, he was thoroughly...
You know what, look, at the time he said it, his wife, she was married, and she was either pregnant with Barron or had just given birth. And, you know, the fact that he's out doing that, you know, I'm like, does this guy have the moral character, you know, to be the commander-in-chief if he cheats there? What else is he going to cheat on? Is he going to,
you
know, is he going to cheat with North Korea? Who knows?
I
had a hard time voting for him.
I didn't even know the time frame of when that was said.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is that the truth is that It was very unfortunate that that came out, and it embarrassed the shit out of him. And it's going to embarrass him the rest of his life. And I think that that's penalty enough. I mean, you know, and I'm sure, you know, that was the worst thing he could have fucking said. I mean, not the worst thing he could have said, but it was a very horrible thing to say. There's no doubt about it. I don't think it makes him not look. When I'm not being a jerk off here, but when the illustrious Bill Clinton got caught getting a blowjob in the Oval Office, I was not a Democrat at the time, but I happened to meet Bill Clinton, I was very happy to meet him because he was President of the United States. It was still cool to meet the guy. But when he did that, I honestly said, who the fuck cares? Listen, we're all human. I mean, people get blowjobs. And when I was a kid, I was friends with a guy who was about 12 years older, 14 years older than me. And I looked up to him, and I was always a very honest guy. And I always thought cheating on a woman was a terrible thing to do. He was married, and I found out he cheated on his wife, and I was heartbroken. And he looked at me and went, Mikey, one day you'll understand. But I was heartbroken. And I'm going to tell you something. My second wife didn't touch me. I had two babies 10 months apart. And I'm telling you, for 5 years after my second son was born, my second wife didn't touch me. I didn't care the first year. She had two little babies in the house. It didn't bother me. But after a year, I was like, oh, what do you think? And she was like, fuck you, don't touch me. And then after 2 years, I was like, what do you think? And then after 3 years, I was like, fuck it. I never asked her again. Until eventually 6 or 7 years, I had to get divorced. But it was only because of that. I would have stayed with her the rest of my life because of my kids. But it wasn't just because of sex. It was because she hated my fucking guts. You know what I mean? So you come home every night to a woman who won't even say hello to you. Forget not sleep with you. And then all of a sudden you figure out that sometimes you have to cheat on a wife. Now, I never did. Because she was so fucking nuts. I knew all I cared about were my sons, and I wanted to be with my kids until they were at least 8, 9 years old so they knew who their father was. But the truth of the matter is, as you grow older in life, you realize sometimes we don't live in a perfect world. And I don't judge people. I don't think it's nice to cheat, but I don't fucking judge people because you don't know what they're living through. Okay? So let me say this. I wouldn't exclude Clinton from being president for getting a blowjob. I didn't think it was a great thing to do, especially with an intern. But I honestly was not carrying a fucking banner trying to get that guy thrown out of the White House for getting a blowjob. I honestly wasn't. And so what Trump did was unfortunate, very unfortunate. I hate that that came out. I hate that it happened. But you know what? The truth of the matter is this shit happens. Now, okay, you hated the guy, don't vote for him when you heard that. But the truth is that everybody heard it, and some people voted for him anyway. And so now you have people just doing everything they can to ruin our country because they're not happy that he's president. That is what's un-American. Well, you know what's American? 4 years is coming. Make sure you vote for the next president. That's your right. It's not your right to destroy this country because you're not happy that Trump won. That's not – you're right. You know, when President Obama was president and he got elected twice, man, all I could do was bite my tongue. I did not like most of the stuff that President Obama did. I never said a word about it. And I was a very public guy. I'm not a big star. I'm on the bottom rung, dripping off the bottom rung of the showbiz ladder, brother. But you know what? A lot of people read what I say, and I was on stage a lot of nights in New York City, and you could find a lot of tape of me doing it. And I never said a word. And I called the man President Obama. I never said a nasty word about the guy ever. Now, I want to ask you, why am I able to keep my mouth shut when I'm not happy? What makes me so much better human being than some other people in this country? You know what it is?
Probably. I'm guessing, Mike, it's a sense of fairness. You know, the right, the conservatives, the Republicans, they had two shots. And what do? They put McCain up and then they put Romney up, you know, and they could have run a better candidate. McCain probably could have got it if he'd had a better VP candidate. They got, they got Romney last year. You know,
look,
there's, you know, there was just no great candidate. Obama was beatable twice. But you know what? It happened. The people voted, and, you know, it was what it was. Now, I don't know that I agree with you. I think that you are a better person because, you know what, you take your licks. You know, if you get tagged out, you don't scream and yell and pout and sit on second base. You got thrown out. You get up, dust yourself off, shake your head, run back to the dugout. It's the game. And you know what? Whether you're safe or not, the umpire calls the game, not you, not the fans, the umpire.
Right.
And the voters called the game. I was pissed off when Obama got in. You know, I wasn't 100% convinced about the whole birth certificate thing. You know what? But better people than me, smarter people with better computers, they verified it. They vetted it. I said, okay, I take the word for it. But you know what? You know, the umpire, you know, made the ruling, and now I got to dust myself off, go back to my dugout for 8 years, and then I get another shot. That's how I feel.
Exactly, Johnny. And I'm going to tell you something else, brother. If I met President Obama, I would call him President Obama, and I would call him sir, because he's President of the United States. And you know something? Many, many, many of my fellow citizens voted for the man, and he deserves that respect. I'm not so fucking, I don't have such a hubris in my own self that I'm so important that just because I don't love it, I mean, you know what I mean? Too fucking bad. You know what I mean? So, you know, he was president of the United States and he, you know, I need to respect that fact. And I always did. And so that's what people need to get back to in this country. You know, because when
I agree with you. That's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. What is the problem with the left that they want to pull up second base, walk off the field with it, then burn down the stadium because they got tagged out November 8th, 2016? It was the Russians. It was this. It was that. They can't take their outs. And I don't understand that. You know, whatever side you're on, you're supposed to be a grown-up, be a good sport. They don't let you vote as a child. You get to vote when you're 18. Maybe that's too young. Maybe it ought to be 35. I don't know. But it seems like a lot of 35-year-olds are acting like 12-year-olds, you know, right now.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. You know,
no,
I had to shut up for 8 years. Now it's your turn to shut up.
Yes.
For 8
exactly.
years or 4 years. You get another shot at it. But they won't do that. And I, for the life of me, Mike, and Mark, maybe shine some light. I don't understand why they can't take their outs.
Because
they're
taught by the media that it's okay to hate. They're taught by the media that it's the right thing to do. And they're taught by Hollywood, which, look, you know, it's the cultural thing to do now. You know, let's hate Trump and this, that, the other. And, oh, my God, we got this story about Trump and he's an animal and he's a misogynist. And, you know, and we're going to run with this narrative over and over and over and over again. And he's going to kill everybody. And, you know, and it's just, that's it. And people just believe it. You know, you have people in this country that actually think Trump's going to kill everybody alive. And, you know, it's crazy. So, you know, and it's accepted. It's accepted. You know, you have, you know, look, I loved that comedian that cut Trump's head off. I loved her. I thought she was hysterical. I loved her stand-up. And, you know, but, you know, what would make somebody think that they could do that to a president of the United States? You know what I mean? Like, where does she get her balls? Kathy Griffin, where does she get her balls that she's going to stand there and decapitate the president, even in effigy? I mean, it's despicable behavior. And I'm not one to try to look, I rail against political correctness, and I hate when people try to tell artists how to talk, because I'm in the same boat. You know, people try to tell me to keep my comedy clean and everything else. I'm like, fuck you. Pay me and I'll say whatever you want. But you know, the truth of the matter is that you know, you can't do that. You know what I mean? This is disrespectful to our country. Look, without our country, what do we have? What the fuck do we have if we don't have America? You know, so, you know, it's okay now, though. Kathy Griffin, like half the people in this country think she's a hero for doing that. And really, she should have been shunned immediately. Immediately. Instead, you have all these people that came to her, you know, to her aid. And I really was heartbroken when it happened because I didn't want to say anything bad about her. because I respect her art. I think she's a very talented woman. And it breaks my heart to have to say that about a person who acted like that. But I can't lie. I can't turn my back on how funny she is. The woman's very, very funny. But she's fucked up in the head. Why do you have to do that? All that talent. Why do you have to put yourself out there and act like you're cutting the president's head off? I mean, what? Where do you come from? You know what I mean? So
I got no answers. Yeah, you know, I live in Hollywood, Mike. You know, if I'm going to express my views, I can't call into a talk show here. I got to call New York and New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, listen, Jai, I'm glad you called. It was a pleasure to meet you.
You too, brother.
You can call anytime. But thank you so much for giving us a buzz.
You got it, brother.
Hey, Mike.
All right, rock on. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Mike, I'm offering right now, anyone who calls in the next 5 minutes, free shoulder massage for me.
Hold on.
Free shoulder massage,
baby.
Shut up.
203 area code. You're on the phone. Who's this?
Yo, it's Big Ben.
Big Ben? That's some voice.
A clock? You want a shoulder
massage? Big Ben from Milford, Connecticut, man. What's happening?
Who is it?
This is Big Ben from Milford, Connecticut.
Hello.
What's going on, Big Ben?
How you doing, man? I don't like Ben. Trump, man.
Big Ben. You want a shoulder massage, Big Ben?
I'd love one, man. You got one for me?
All right. Just imagine me massaging your shoulders over the phone.
Oh, I think I just threw up, man. It feels so good.
Oh.
I'm throwing up on my mouth doing that, man.
Oh,
I see the pictures of you on Facebook. I don't know if I want that, man.
Oh, Big Ben.
Oh, man. Easy, old school. Easy. Ooh. No, no,
Big Ben, you
guys
in a hard on for my shoulder massage.
Man, guys are getting shaky. Great show, though, man. Great show.
Thank you, Big Ben.
Yeah. I don't like Trump because he's a dick.
What? He's a dick? Why do you think he's a dick, Ben?
Well, he's
oh,
like
me?
That kid.
Or Trump?
No, Trump. Trump is. No,
oh,
okay. Mark's cool.
I happen
cool.
to be a dick, by the way. I don't know about
you. All right,
like
man. You just don't. That's all.
Thank you.
That's it, man. Nah, Trump's like that kid in school that starts all the trouble but gets away with it because he's the teacher.
Yeah.
You know, man, like he got all that pull and all that and takes advantage of all his power and all that. But nah, he's just a punk, man. Hey, we got to get rid of him.
All right, how are you going to get rid of him?
I don't know, man. I want to get rid of him. I don't know, man. I mean, it's like, he's going to screw it up for himself eventually, but I mean, if there was a way I could do it, man.
Don't say anything, you're going to get yourself in trouble, man.
No, man, I'd say, like, I'd start a petition or something, man. I'm not going to do nothing illegal.
Yeah,
You know? I, you know, man. Raise your hand if you want him out. I mean, my hand is up.
Ben, what exactly is he doing that you just can't stand?
Well, one thing I didn't like that he stood up for the guys with the tiki torches, man. He said, well, hey, man, those guys had a
stick up for them.
He sure did. The hell are you kidding?
He stuck up for the guys with tiki torches?
Sure he did, man. She's been all
over. You know, his grandchildren are Jewish. You know that, right?
That don't matter.
Well, those guys with the tiki torches wanted to kill his grandchildren, so I don't think he stood up for them.
I don't think he minded, man, because he was like all hate. He was all like, they got their rights too, man. You know, both sides in that shit, man. You know?
So you think he stuck up for the guys with the tiki torches, but I think what he stuck up for was people that were saying it was okay to be white. So do you think it's not okay to be white? I'm white. Should I just go run and drown myself today because I'm white?
No. If you walking around with polo shirt and khakis
white
and t-shirt saying that you only you yelling things like white power, then you maybe you should drown yourself. But no, nothing wrong with being white like
you want
white.
No, I mean, of course I'm not. But let me ask you a question. Big Ben, are you a black dude? Are you a black dude?
No, I'm not.
All right.
Well, I am. I'm a black man.
No. Yeah. Mark, shut the fuck up. So let me just say something. I'm going to say something to you. I think you are a black dude because you don't sound like a black dude, but I think you're a black dude. But
I'm
a Polish. You're what?
I'm not. I'm just a regular Polish guy, man.
Are you Polish?
I'm a Polack.
With
man.
A southern accent from Connecticut. That's kind of weird.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, let me just say something though. Okay.
Yeah.
Slavery was a horrible thing. And
yeah.
when I watch movies,
mm-hmm.
when I watch movies,
mm-hmm.
all right, Mark, just
I'm singing a slave song.
No, I'm turning my mic off. Okay, so when I watch movies about slavery, especially some of the ones that have come out in recent time, I can't even watch them. I can't stomach it. It
yeah.
makes me sick to see people portray it like that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and so it's horrifying to me. It's nothing about it makes me happy, but what people don't understand is this, okay? Slavery existed all over this planet, not just the United States of America. Slavery happened in all cultures, all
mm-hmm.
over, for thousands and thousands of years on this planet. Slavery didn't only just happen here.
Mm-hmm.
When America had slaves, we didn't go to Africa. I don't know if you know this. We didn't go to Africa and take slaves. We went to Africa and traded for slaves. Other Africans freely traded their own people. This is what was done, okay? Now, here's the thing. There came a point in time when Americans decided that slavery itself was a bad thing. Now, there were people that were benefiting from mostly slave labor in the South, who didn't want to give that up because that's how they were making their money. And so they didn't want to give up this thing. And so they were like, no, we don't want to give up slave labor. But the people in the North were like, no, this is wrong. We can't live like this. We don't want this to happen. So eventually what had to happen was this thing called the Civil War. Now, a lot of people have tried over the years to argue that the Civil War happened for other reasons besides to end slavery, but it's been widely argued that the vast majority of the reason that the Civil War happened was to end slavery. So to end slavery, which was evil in this country, 600,000 Americans died. Now,
yes, sir.
It ended slavery, and that was kind of a pretty big penance right there, don't you think? Now, putting aside that, no one alive today owned a slave because enough time has passed where it's physically impossible for anybody alive to have owned a slave. Now, taking a guy like me, my ancestry is from Italy. Like, my people never owned a slave.
Oh, soul mio.
Motherfucker. He thinks he's so funny. So my people never owned a slave. So this conversation has nothing to do with me. Nothing at all.
Yeah.
I never owned a slave. My parents never owned a slave. My grandparents never owned a slave. Nobody in my fucking lineage ever owned a slave on either side of my family. Okay?
Yeah.
So while my heart could bleed for slavery, what do you want me to do about it? Okay? So here's the thing, brother. Okay. Now, what else can we do in this country? Rip ourselves apart forever over something that happened all over the world for thousands of years? Like, this was not just strictly an American problem. This happened everywhere. Now, the only thing that happens from all of this is that people don't move forward. We do live in a country where, believe it or not, you can be, as referenced by the man that we've all been talking about, President Obama, a black guy and be president of the United States. You can be anything you want now. And you can be black and be anything. There are black people who are hugely successful. No one is holding black people down. No one.
Yeah, but that's, what's that got to do with these guys in the polo shirts marching with tiki torches yelling white power and all this, you know?
What's that got to do with
slavery, man?
What's that got to do with anything, dude? So there's a couple jerk-offs in the world. Who cares?
There was a lot more
than
a couple of them. Lord, a couple of someone died over that, man. That's serious stuff. That's stuff that cannot be ignored. Mark, you sing beautiful.
Thank you.
No, so here's the thing.
Mark sings beautifully, man.
Now, let me ask you a question. If there's been a lot of white people hearing about how fucking horrible they are for the last few years, so how long are you going to take people and batter them for being white before some of them start saying, hey, fuck you?
I don't think people are being battered for being white.
Oh, my God.
I don't.
All this white shaming, and you got to have fucking safe spaces at colleges, and you got to fucking, you know, come on, dude. It's getting crazy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm white. I got no shame, but I'm saying is that I also know that when a police officer four of them hold down a black man to shoot him in the chest, I know that's not right, you know? So that's
not every police officer does that.
I think that's the whole thing. They always say not every police officer, but when one of them does it, they should be accountable for it, and they should not be ignored, and they should not be let off the hook, you know?
We should get a policeman on this show.
Of course. Well, listen, Ben, we got a couple other callers, brother. Thanks for calling in.
No, I enjoy the show, man. I love what you guys do.
Thank you. Call back.
Let me close up.
We love controversy.
Let me just say this, man. You got to agree. Right? We come to a time where we have the president of the United States is the fucking host from Celebrity Apprentice. Isn't anybody see something wrong with that at all? It's just me.
No.
Gary Busey certainly doesn't see anything wrong with that.
Hey, you guys are the best, man. Enjoy the show, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Let's see, Marco. We got another caller. Hold on. 850, you're on the phone. Who's this?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
I'm just calling for the fried rice.
Oh, who is it, Pam?
Got some fried rice.
Yeah, I got fried rice here. Is this Pam Love?
Yes, this is Pam Love.
Hi, Pam. Pam is also a resident of Florida, Mike Boyle. She lives in near Orlando, right?
Yeah.
And she and her dog are getting out to go into Montgomery, Alabama, which I guess if it's a hurricane, even Montgomery, Alabama is all right to go to. And she's going to leave. You're going to be there Sunday through Tuesday, right?
Yep. That should be the worst of it in the panhandle.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
All right. What are you, her fucking announcer, Mark? Like, Mark's like, Pam will be appearing Monday through Tuesday. Like,
yeah, I'm an announcer. I'll go back to singing slave songs.
Are you getting out, Boyle? Are you getting out of Jacksonville?
No.
You're staying?
No.
Are you insane?
I ignore the shit every time.
Down matches, baby.
I ignore it every time. I just hang in there. Just fuck it.
This isn't every time.
Every time.
Big
I just,
one.
I just sit there
and
go.
It's been nice knowing you.
I just tie my penis to a fence post. I ain't going nowhere.
Oh, do you? That long, huh?
Yeah.
They say we're going to get the tail end in New York on like late next week. We're going to get like 5-6 inches of rain or something up here.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
And some wind.
Well, listen, you got to think.
You know,
about
we did we Mike. Remember, we did a whole show during the hurricane. That was a great show a couple of years ago.
It is a monster, but it's going to be on land for 300 miles before it gets to Jacksonville. It's got to calm down a little bit. It's entering the state in Miami. Miami's 350 miles away from Jacksonville.
Are they sure about that now, or could it still?
Yeah, I mean every model shows it hitting Miami, which that sucks.
Yeah, but
I mean,
they're just guessing.
Oy vey.
They're just guessing.
Miami Beach.
It's got to hit off Cuba first before we even know if it's going to be east side or west side for sure.
It's going to be hitting Miami Beach. The stuff Derma will be flying.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly.
Cuba, fuck Cuba. You know what? I could say this with no hesitation. You know, they always tell us we're all going to die, and I haven't died. I've been here since 2001. I'm still here. So, you know, I figure I ain't going to die this time either.
You will not die.
Okay.
You know what I mean, right, Pam? Where are you going? Yeah. Are you single, Pam? Pick me up on the way. Where are you coming from?
I like Tallahassee area. I live about an hour west of Tallahassee.
Pam came to New York, Mike, and I met Pam. I met Pam.
God.
She came up here. I showed her the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
And we went to Central Park for like 1 minute.
Yeah, where did you want to go? And you wanted to go somewhere, and I said, don't go there. Go to the Katz's Deli.
Now, how the fuck did you meet up with Martel Scott, Pam?
She was here in New York. I said, when you come, let me know.
We've been following each other on Facebook for years.
Right.
Yeah.
But
how
did you meet him? From the Mike Boyle show or like?
Facebook.
Yeah.
I got to stop doing the show if I'm going to be.
No. Well, you know, she knew about the show, but we were friends on Facebook. She said she's coming to New York. So I said, meet me on the Upper East Side. We met by the bus stop and we went and did stuff.
All right, I got to look up this woman, see what's going on here. Because if
Pam
I'm exploring people,
he's a writer.
You've said really nasty things to me before on Facebook.
Oh, my God.
Well, he said nasty things to everybody, including the co-host. So what are you going to do?
What nasty things I said to you, Pam Love? Don't say that. I'm not nasty.
Mike. Let me do for Pam. Pam loves this. You didn't see
Gordon.
Twin Peaks, but I do a perfect imitation of the guy who played David Lynch, who played the FBI director. So Pam, ask me a question, and I'll answer it as the FBI director. Those of you out there who know Twin Peaks will know this is a great imitation. Go ahead. Ask me a question.
Is there coffee in Central Park?
I think the coffee in Central Park is delicious. There is nothing better than coffee in Central Park. Thank you. That's a perfect imitation of him.
You're out of your fucking mind, Mark. You know that?
Yeah, no, but
you're
that's a good imitation of him. If you watch the show, you'll know.
Now, Pam, I'm looking at your picture. Mm-hmm. Now that you sound nasty. Is that a jar of semen that you're collecting and your photos? What the fuck is that? There's a jar of semen.
What are you talking about? It's me and a dog.
No, there's a jar of white, bubbly, creamy shit that you got a spoon in. It looks like accumulated semen, Mark. What is she into?
I have no idea.
I
don't know that. Let me look at her page.
It's a mason jar. It's under timeline photo. It's the ninth photo under timeline photos. It's like chunky semen. Not that I would know what that looks like. I'm guessing.
You seem to.
Yeah. It's like she's collecting sperm over there, Mark. There's two bottles of
you put the butterfly up. That's a nice picture. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Great butterfly.
Let me see the semen.
I don't see any jars or anything. What the hell are you looking at?
I see jars on a table. I see jars on a table and a butterfly. I also see some grass.
I don't see any jars.
Look, you look like a very nice lady, Pam, but you're not nice telling people I sent you nasty shit. I don't know what you're talking about.
Something in the comments or something. You were mean to me.
Why? Tell me. I'm only mean if people get fucking nasty. I mean, I got, you know, that's how I am. But what'd you say to me first?
Oh, that lumpy stuff in the jar is homemade yogurt.
Yogurt.
I used raw milk. And I put it in a warm spot, and 24 hours later, I had yogurt.
Yeah, that's fucked up, man. So listen, we can make love if you want, but you're not giving me homemade yogurt. Thank you.
I buy my yogurt in the store. Only store-bought yogurt for me, baby.
I don't like that homemade shit. You haven't tried the homemade stuff. It was good. Well, you know why it was so good? This is why it was so good. I bought homemade milk, dairy milk from Jersey cows. And it was raw milk. And I made yogurt out of it, not realizing it was like, I don't know, 2-3 times the fat of normal milk.
Does it really?
It was.
But it's a good probiotic.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember arguing with you. I will tell you this.
I'm sorry I was so uninventful.
No. I will tell you this. You look like a sweet woman, so I argue with you. I'm sorry that you got nasty with
very
me.
Very nice.
Because I usually only get nasty when people are nasty with me first. But it must not have been too bad because I didn't block you. We're still friends. And I will
yeah,
block
I think
you.
I unfollowed you.
It was probably in the heat of the political campaign, and she might have said something about she liked liberal and you were – no? All right. I don't want to know. I don't want to create havoc.
No, I don't
want to.
Dude, I have a lot of wasn't following. Block people because they're liberals. She,
I know. I don't know what else.
People get nasty with me first. So she must have said something shitty. And I might have been like, hey, suck a dick or fuck off or whatever.
Who knows?
A Mike Boyleism. But I wish you could refresh my memory because I would like to know.
It's been a long time.
All right.
It's been a really long time.
Yeah, well, it's cool that you
well,
called
she
in
called,
anyway.
She called the show, so she obviously.
She got over it. So we are. She got over it, and she's
fine with it. But we have seen an entity from an evil side of the universe that must be stopped with luscious, delicious coffee.
Coffee,
yeah. You got to watch the show, Mike. Twin Peaks. It's the return.
Yeah.
It's the sickest.
It's a perfect impression.
It's like an LSD trip. Like I posted. I said I watched 3 shows of Twin Peaks in a row, and I have to go to rehab. It's like a friggin' acid trip. It's the most amazing, crazy show ever. It's on Showtime. Just watch the first 2 episodes. You'll see what I mean. It's insane.
All right.
It's good, but now it's over.
Yeah, I couldn't handle it anymore. I had enough. I mean, I told you, I have to go. I have one more episode. I was having an acid relapse.
All right, Mark, are you guys going to have like a fucking a reunion here on the Mike Boyle show? Or
why not?
What else is going on? It's the Mike Boyle show. It's not,
well, you can
it's
join
not,
in.
It's not the fucking Mark.
Why don't you join
fucking,
in? It's your show.
I mean, you know.
It's your show. You can join in anytime you want. It's your show. Have some delicious coffee.
If he was a good Yankee, he'd just talk over us, but I guess he's not a Yankee.
I mean, you know,
he is. He's from Jersey.
You're from Jersey?
Yeah, he's from New Jersey.
Well, then why don't you just talk over us then?
Because he's tired. He's been working all day, and it's 10:32 at night.
I'm going to have to send
shuttering his windows, no doubt.
I'm going to have to send her pictures of my penis, I think.
No, don't do it. Don't do an Anthony Weiner with your wiener.
No, don't do that.
So when do you leave, Penn, for Montgomery, Alabama?
I leave on Sunday.
Don't tell him you're Jewish.
Oh, hold on.
I'm not. But he's kind of this... Airbnb host is living kind of in a Jewish neighborhood. So.
Oh, that's right. Like, yeah, I know there's Jewish neighborhoods everywhere, even in Alabama.
Yeah, but are they named Casey?
No.
Okay, now I see pictures. I see pictures of Pam with short hair now. So, what's the hair now? Short or long, Pam?
It's short now. Like shorterling.
All right, short hair. I see her now, red lipstick, blowing kisses, Mark. So she's trying to be sexy.
She looks lovely in with the red lipstick while she drinks coffee. Delicious coffee.
And fucking homemade yogurt. This is a sick moment.
There's nothing better than Pam loves homemade yogurt.
Yeah, you can see me with Diaz Mackey and Mark Maron and Sammy Shore.
Oh, so you're a comedian.
Marty Allen.
She's a writer. She makes her living as a writer. She's a professional writer.
Right. Oh, there's a picture of David Brenner, very funny guy. And Bobby Slay.
Wait a minute. You know, I have pictures of her on Facebook with me. Actually, I took pictures of you in front of, I think it was a Picasso painting.
Yeah, but I looked really fat.
Well, because you know why you looked heavy? Only because the picture was of a round woman, so you kind of added, you know, you were standing. But other, she's not really fat. But, yeah, I have it somewhere on Facebook, but it's like a year ago, so you got to travel back.
Remember Bobby Slayton was on our show, Marco?
Yeah, he Bobby Slayton is the insult comedian. He was really, boy, was he going on our show, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, he was on the show. He didn't, he wasn't friendly.
Well, he's an insult comic. That's his gig, man.
Yeah. He was not friendly. All right. Well, listen, Pam Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry that you pissed me off that night, whatever it was. Try not to do it again.
Yeah, right. yeah, don't push.
Don't piss me off.
Now she's, you know what she's doing now, Mike? She's writing for a marijuana magazine.
Is she really?
No, marijuana retailer.
You can call my son Blake up. You guys can be friends. He's all into pot now. Fucking idiot.
I don't
know. You know, there's one place in Manhattan, the weirdest thing in the world, well, one of the weird things, there's you know, it's legal kind of in New York. It's medically legal. So they can sell pills and oil and vapor, marijuana vapor, for people, and you get a prescription for it. But the weirdest thing is that in Manhattan, the dispensary for the marijuana, the legal dispensary, is on the same building where my dealer used to live on 14th Street, 3rd Avenue. That's weird.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe your dealer was just foreshadowing.
Could have been.
All right. Well, listen, good to meet you. I think she is Jewish. I see Jewish writing on something.
No, the Jewish writing, you see, I sent her the same psalm I sent you.
No, I see something else here. She's
all right.
She's a very eclectic woman. She's got
pictures. Are you still Orthodox? You're not Orthodox anymore, but you were at one time, right?
Yeah. For a while. Not anymore.
Are you single or married or what's going on with you?
I'm single.
Do you masturbate a lot?
Well, this is Mike's thing. He likes to ask that question.
What did you ask? I didn't hear.
He said, do you masturbate?
Oh, jeez. God. Get over it, dude.
Simple yes or no question, Pam.
None of your fucking business.
Let's ask FBI Deputy Chief. Excuse me, Pam. Do you masturbate frequently? Do you enjoy stroking your clitoris?
No, I enjoy coffee.
While you drink coffee.
Do you need clitoral stimulation or is it vaginal, deep vaginal? Why
oh, God.
So lady in the store?
Only the FBI director can ask you those questions.
He took a picture of this poor old lady in the store.
Who is it, me?
No.
No, she's like, you're like very sweet old lady. She smells very powdery in person.
On her face?
I have no idea what you're looking at.
I don't know. Pam, I think you're a little wacky, but all right. Thanks for calling in. Yeah. Anybody who won't admit they masturbate is whacked out in my book. That's just for starters.
She just doesn't want to talk about personal.
And then makes homemade yogurt. And then, hold on, is that your pet parrot?
Yeah.
That's a pretty.
I didn't know you had a parrot.
Yes, you got a pet parrot.
I did. I took it to Tampa. He lives in a sanctuary now with a flock of
Africans. Yeah. I remember you told me. Matter of fact, I remember I was thinking about buying a parakeet, and we had a whole discussion about that.
Mm.
You do have a sexy voice now. Did you used to smoke?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it made your voice sexy.
Yeah, well, this is the typical voice of the Jewish woman who smokes is this. So I went down to the store. I ran out of Marlboros, so I had to go back to the store to buy more Marlboros. And guess who I saw at the store? Pam Love was there, and she came over to me, and she said, "You still smoke Marlboros?" I said, "Of course." There was a Shiksa there, too. She smoked Lucky Strikes, the typical Shiksa. Lucky Strikes, no filter. They have no class.
Pall Malls, yeah.
Chesterfield.
All right. Listen,
I'm
going to
go now.
Goodbye,
yes,
Pam. Call me. Okay. We'll be in touch on your trip to Alabama.
Yes.
Okay.
Good luck. Drive safe. Be well.
Thanks. Good luck surviving the monster hurricane.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I told you.
I sent him David Psalm 20. He'll be all right.
Okay. That should tide him over.
Bye, Pam.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Pam. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for calling.
Lady, rub one out before bed.
All right. All right. It's been we had a lot of callers tonight. I think the Trump stuff stirred people up, man. That's good. And I put a lot. I don't know if you saw the post, but I was offering free Chinese food for Barack Obama if he called. I mean, I all kinds of posts about shit. You know, so.
You're gonna get Barack free Chinese food if he calls in.
Yeah, I offered him if he called, then he'd get free Chinese food.
That's funny. Where can I get the free Chinese food?
Right. Oh, wait a minute. I can't do Barack impersonation, but I'm sure he likes Chinese food. And also delicious coffee.
All right, so everybody, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. It's been a fun show. Mostly.
Oh, look,
one
Eric
guy
Brantley.
Fucking ever,
Eric,
that guy.
Eric Brantley recorded.
What? He recorded the show? Well, he doesn't have to. We have archives. What? He recorded what?
Eric Brantley recorded the fucking thing and made a little video about it.
Really? All right, fine. Publicity is good no matter what they say. Even if he said we were fucking idiots, as long as it's publicity, I don't care. That's great. Thank you, Eric.
I just typed in there. Thanks for calling in, brother.
Thank you, Eric. And thank you, Pam. And thank you, Big Ben. And anybody else or what? Was that it, Big Ben, Pam, and Eric? No, Bolton. Bolton, my friend from Los Angeles. Bolton. Not Michael Bolton, but some Bolton. Bolton. Thank you, Bolton. So we got three or four callers tonight. That's good. Now can I eat my chicken, please? I want to eat some chicken. I got chicken rice with the chicken fat on the side. I want to eat. I haven't eaten since a piece of cake at the museum. Oh, what a fantastic time I had there. I'm a member. I'm a fancy member of the Metropolitan Metropolitan Museum of Art. They treat me like a king.
All right. Goodbye.
Good night, everybody. Here's the theme.
Thanks, everybody. Look, we had a lot of callers tonight. But thank you, Richard Barba. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.